In order to prepare for the next section of our study, we'll pause for a few moments of silent prayer, and you may use the time for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to continue our pursuit. It is our prayer that the Holy Spirit will instruct us as we provide the positive volition. We lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We're on the sixth floor, spiritual maturity characterized by cognitive invincibility. Hey, how about that line? Cognitive invincibility. So this is a edification complex of the soul. Let's see if I can find it. Right there. Number six, spiritual maturity and occupation with Christ. This is an advance, quite obviously. And if you get to this level, then you are ready to do mature things in your spiritual life. This level of spiritual advance is necessary to pass the third category of suffering for blessing, and that is evidence testing. There are several characteristics of spiritual maturity, and they may be briefly described as follows. Maximum contentment. Sharing the happiness of God is the ultimate problem-solving device. Happiness is the result of a facilitated inventory of doctrines contained in all 11 categories of systematic theology. And so in order to remind you of these, there they are. These are the ones that were developed in the 1940s, at least in a published form, by Lewis Sperry Chafer in his Systematic Theology. They include those that you see. He has 10. We observe 11, but he combines the issue of angelology and Satanology in the same category. Bibliology, the study of the Bible. Theology proper, the study of God. Angelology and Satanology, this is the study of the angelic creation, both elect and fallen. Anthropology, the folks. Martyrology, soteriology, ecclesiology, eschatology, Christology, and pneumatology, and on it goes. Now, there's an entire book by Chafer that goes through these things. You are familiar with them, and each category has a multiplicity of doctrines that are associated with them. And to have an overall picture of the divine revelation, you need to at least understand a number of categories that are pertinent to each of these 11. And when you do that, you've got a broad inventory of biblical truths from which to draw. And so the sixth floor is spiritual maturity and is characterized by cognitive invincibility. And that invincibility is provided by the fact that in these categories, you have quite a number of doctrines from which to draw. And so when you take a look at these categories, and they simply are ones that emerge in Scripture, and as you read a passage, say you read the Bible in the morning, or something of that nature, and you go through a given passage that you've decided to address, you ought to ask yourself the question as you go through there, what categories of systematic theology are emerging from, say, these 8 or 10 verses? And so that would be a good exercise for you. Now, the maximum contentment turns out to be an issue that emerges in the process of the sixth floor. There are, get rid of that. Maximum contentment is the concept here. Here's the definition of that. Sharing the happiness of God is the ultimate problem-solving device. God is happy. Why would he not be? He knows all that is knowable. He's in absolute control. He has provided us every resource in order to be able to get our mind around what he is and what he thinks and what he requires of us. He has been gracious enough to put us on this planet. We are fallen, but that doesn't change the fact that when saved, you can overcome that problem. So maximum contentment is sharing the happiness of God. It's the ultimate problem-solving device. That's only possible through an inculcation of a lot of doctrine. Happiness is the result of a facilitated inventory of doctrines contained in all 11 categories of systematic theology. Now, when you say facilitated inventory, you go to a Bible class and say a new concept is communicated along the way of an hour's class. When you hear that, it's new information, and you have to vote on whether you believe it. It's okay if you don't understand it, because that happens a lot in the spiritual growth process. But to have clarity of thought and say, no, I don't believe that, it never gets to the cardia, and that, therefore, is not a part of your inventory to apply to your personal life. And so, convinced that he is solid and perfect plan of God, the believer evaluates every exigency as an honor to pass while maintaining perfect happiness. Exigencies emerge. We're in a war, and the war is invisible, yet we are visible participants in this contest. And we can arm ourselves with divine thought and apply it in our personal lives, but you cannot apply what you do not know. And so we're at a sixth floor here, and it's categorized as spiritual maturity, which means you're a veteran of the wars. And therefore, you need to maintain perfect happiness. And that means the exigencies of Cosmos Diabolicus do not draw you out of your fellowship. Its occurrence was programmed into the divine decree, and God expects him to function as a witness for the prosecution, demonstrating the power of doctrine applied as superior to the dark side's cosmic strategies. The dark side has its strategies, and they're evident every day. They're being broadcast far and wide. Some of you are on this thing called Facebook and the Twitter, and that's okay. But I warn you that that thing is dangerous. Both of them are dangerous. If you are typical, and I would hope that you're not typical, but a lot of people will get on there and communicate things to others, and a broad swath of people can receive your ideas. I don't know how that works, but you go on the Facebook and like 50 people, 100 or maybe 1,000 get your comments. And those comments are in the cloud. Give you an example. We are in document number 6. You'll note that at the top of the page. I developed document number 6 back in February. It has long since passed my memory. I opened up document 6, getting ready to go to work on it, and there was one page. See if I can find it. Won't take long. Page 51. Go down to the bottom of the page, point 24. That was the end of the document. 9 pages, that would be these right here, were gone. And you will note on page 61, escrow blessings. I could have just flipped over to escrow blessings and you wouldn't have known the difference. You would have thought maybe that seems to be a little out of sync, but you would have known the difference. So what did I do? I went to my guru, my problem-solving device, the man with the plan, the one who knows how to find things that don't exist. And I said to him, Pauly D, what has happened to my document number 6? I've gone everything I know to recover it from my inventory. And he says, well, all is not lost. We'll just go to the cloud. Do you know about this cloud? Do you know everything that you put down and transmit somewhere is in the cloud? Have you just eaten somebody out in one of these things? Have you called them everything but a human? Have you exposed yourself as to what your real belief system is? Have you taken to task people that you hope die in a fire? It's in the cloud. One of these days, when we lose our freedom of speech, people will go there and find out who you've castigated. Paul nodded his head. So he goes to the cloud and he finds out where I last saved the full document. It's up there. Know this, whatever you've done is up there. It's like God Almighty in electronic contrivances. And he found, even note that I have the pages here. Where did they come from? Paulie D. What would we do? A little round of applause for Paulie D. That was not very robust, was it? I'm just making the point that the cloud has everything down to the last comma. And he went and found this. And because he found it, I'm able to teach it today if I'll get back to it. But I thought it was important to note as we go along with this that there is a place you can go to find the data. Now I've got to find out where it was. I think I was on a page somewhere. The sixth floor. Convinced that he is solid in the perfect plan of God, the believer evaluates every exigency as an honor to pass while maintaining perfect happiness. Its occurrence was programmed into the divine decree, and God expects him to function as a witness for the prosecution. God is expecting this of us. He's given us the information we need to be a good, soldier for Christ, demonstrating the power of doctrine applied as superior to the dark side's cosmic strategies. Now, the cosmic strategy is out for everybody to see that knows how to evaluate them. Do you accept the incoming data? Are you confused by it? Do you agree with it or not? You have to have a way to dissect what you hear, whether it's at a family reunion or whether the future of the nation depends upon it. So let's talk about mental stability. The mature believer is equipped to apply doctrine to every exigency. Divine viewpoint is so efficient that he considers it more real than the reality he faces. The power of the Word of God trumps anything in the devil's world. You have to be patient in application and let God take care of the details, but the truth will trump the lie. He lives his life with the confidence that being in God's plan ensures him of all the logistics he needs to overcome any situation that life, the world, and opposition presents. You are a winner believer when you get your mind right about that. Everything is in the decree. Whatever crosses your path, you're expected to resolve with the Word of God. No whining. Virtue love as a problem-solving device. Personal love for God and unconditional love for mankind empowers him to use his personal integrity to manage all situations in life related to interpersonal relationships. Virtue love as a problem-solving device. Virtue. Personal love for God, unconditional love for mankind. Unconditional. Empower him to use his personal integrity, that has to be present, of course, to manage all situations in life related to, get this, interpersonal relationships. Functioning on his orientation to divine integrity, the mature believer is able to apply his personal development of the royal law to himself as well as to others. Therefore, cognitive independence. The mature believer's huge inventory of doctrinal ideas gives him the power to resolve issues with the sophisticated application of Bible doctrine. The doctrine that you know, that's in the inventory, that you're willing to apply. Win a sword drill, but you can shoot somebody out on the grounds of the church. Maximum grace orientation. The spiritual underpinning of the life of a believer is orientation to the grace of God. God's policy is grace. We need that because we're fallen. He has to be able to forgive us of all of the foul-ups that we generate. And so confession alone to God alone takes care of sins, but Bible doctrine takes care of erroneous thought. Grow in grace and the erroneous thought is diminished while the truth is aggrandized. You have to buy into that. Now you can't expect 22 minutes and you leave here feeling good. You need to be empowered by the Word of God that gives you an inventory to manage incoming flack. Now, I want you to feel good about having been here, but you feel good because you feel like you may have learned something you didn't know before that's of value to you. What if I was teaching a course on how to be a policeman? I don't know what you would call that. Police science, I don't know. But you want to be policemen. I am going to tell you, we're here to defend the population. These are some of the things you might encounter along the way in order to do that duty. There are going to be people who do A, and it'll be God-awful. People who do B, God-awful. A whole list of God-awfuls. And you're a policeman, and you've got to deal with that. And when you leave, you say, well, I'm frustrated. I don't think I can be a policeman. No, you can't. You got to buy into the horrors that policemen run into, and you want to be someone who can stand in the gap. And therefore, when you leave, you say, I want to devote the rest of my time here into learning what these things are, how they emerge, and what I can do to stand between the citizen and the perpetrator. You can understand that. But over time, that police officer will absolutely applaud the day that he bought into all of the instructions that history had provided that instructor to tell you as an individual what you need to do your job. And on many days, it will not be fun, but you'll have the inventory of ideas to manage it. We are in an invisible war. And you have to buy into that. And there are great days and not so great days. But we are going to be given times for R&R. God gives us that, rest and recreation. But the other times you go out the front door, you're going to engage the dark side. And you'll be happy as punch that you have problem-solving devices to address those issues. Over time, let's do it again. The spiritual underpinning of the life of a believer is orientation to the grace of God. Over time, he is able to see the grace of God function with efficiency over the course of his spiritual life. Steeped in his history of seeing grace in action, he applies grace habitually. That's your modus operandi. This enables him to be copacetic in all circumstances without any notion of utilizing any application from human viewpoint rationales. You're a loser if you do that. Then we have maximum doctrinal orientation. This category of spiritual maturity stresses spiritual common sense. This allows him to have keen analysis of the situations in life. He's not deceived by cosmic propaganda. Wisdom provides him with the ability to analyze circumstances and then plot the best solution and the courage to follow through on his analysis. Maximum doctrinal orientation. Now, this is an inventory of concepts, ideas, principles, doctrines, and sets of doctrines in systematic theology that arm you to deal with incoming flak. You say, well, you're always talking about the dark side. That's where you live. If you think you're living in the light and sun shines every day and petunias bloom, that's not where we are. And you can, by the way, I've decided to subscribe to the compost again. I canceled it. I couldn't take it anymore. But then baseball season started and I couldn't get any box scores. But you can't subscribe and say, just bring the sports page. You can't do that. So I subscribe to the compost and I get the box scores again. except my delivery woman decides there's certain days she didn't feel like bringing the paper. Back in my journalism days, one of the key attributes of a publishing firm like a newspaper, the underpinning of a newspaper is called circulation. Now, circulation means printing the paper is one thing, but getting it to the hands of the subscribers is quite yet another. And so the circulation guy is a stud muffin in the newspaper. And so I've been writing these people. I didn't get my newspaper on Tuesday the whatever. And they write back, we'll take that off your bill. Okay, so I go on vacation. 2 weeks I've gone. I call the electronic woman on the phone. I want to stop it on this date and resume it on the next. This date here is 2 weeks. We're gone. So what happens during the 2 weeks? Rather than forgetting to bring the paper, she brought them every day. Piled them up on the driveway. Hadn't been for Shane and the neighbor, everybody would have learned over 2 weeks, these people are not home. I'm going to break in and take everything they got. But I had to doctrinally orient to that. People fail. Wisdom provides the ability to analyze circumstances and then plot the best solution and the courage to follow through on the analysis. What was my solution? I wrote an email and explaining what had happened. And I got an email back. We will not bill you for those 2 weeks. No comment about the fact that they were delivered and how I had done walked through the procedure to tell them not to bring the paper. On other occasions, I want the paper that don't bring it. These are people on the editorial page think that they're smarter than anybody else in the room, but they don't have circulation. I'm feeling much better now. Great decisions are based on a position of maximum strength. See that maximum word? Knowing the spiritual mechanics of the plan of God, he is competent to make his decisions from the inventory he has and his inventory of previous applications. So some things have been applied, some have not been applied. The issue hasn't arisen. He is able to always do the right thing in a right way. So when I wrote my letter, I was very nice. Joe Henry said, wow, your email didn't contain any of the things you've been saying around the house. So then the reason for that problem is this next one. Maximum control of one's life. My dad used to call, when my mama would come unwound over something, he would say that she was talking a blue streak. That's an idiom. I have no idea what it means, but I knew my dad was saying that maybe she had just gone a step too far. But my mama could give an analysis and maximum control of one's life, you see here. The mature believer lives independently within the privacy of his priesthood while functioning under the royal family's honor code. You get up every day. Are you doing this? Anyone? Every day, he makes good decisions from his position of strength. What are these? A high inventory of ideas from maximum doctrine resident in the soul. If his norms and standards need changing, they do so from his spiritual growth that requires adjustments to his inventory of ideas. Constantly making adjustments. In other words, doctrine changes his decision-making process, not influence from other people. Other people do not cause you to change your standards. There are exceptions to that. Parents to children, supervisors to the employed, and so on. There are other examples, like the symphony. If it's time for the flute to play, the notes will tell him when to do this. If he doesn't play, the director will have something to say. You are educated to keep your eye on the notes, and when there's a blank spot, you don't play. And when little dots show up on the score, it's time for you to toot your flute. He makes his decisions based on biblical guidance and takes full responsibility for them. Be willing to take responsibility for your erroneous decisions, sin, human viewpoint, human good, evil. Take responsibility, confess it, move on, make adjustments. Maximum spiritual dynamics. The mature believer lives in the light of his personal sense of destiny. God deals in absolutes. There's no fuzzy stuff with God. The Word conveys those absolutes pertinent to the believer. The Word of God instructs you as to how you're to think, how you're to decide, and how you execute. His Word conveys those absolutes pertinent to the believer. The unbeliever reads this as literature. Whatever circumstances he faces, he views them as a part of God's plan for him, and he is to apply doctrine to address them. Not just an inventory where you can cite what God requires on a certain situation, but execute it. Every event in his personal life is associated with his personal sense of destiny. Then there are escrow blessings. And this is where you have accumulated such a powerful inventory of divine thought, and you have executed that and seen how you are aggrandized as a result of that by God. He has led you to a high ground of spiritual orientation, the evanescent advance. Escrow blessings. Every believer of the church age has already inherited escrow blessings. And they are revealed in Ephesians 1 verses 3 through 4 and 1 Peter 1 verses 3 through 5. Now, if you will flip to page 62, you'll see in the middle of the page the word Ephesus. Now we're talking about on page 61 escrow blessings. You do have document 7, don't you? It should have been in the back of the room. Apparently it was. Every believer of the church age has already inherited escrow blessings. Let's go to Ephesians 1, 3 through 4 and see this. Now, verses 3 through 4, in order to be understood, requires a number of brackets to aggrandize translation. Worthy of praise is God. We all agree with that, I'm sure. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now note a comma after the word God and a comma after the word Christ. So let's take out what's between the commas. Worthy of praise is God who? Who's the who? God. We've just been given a piece of information. He's the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not who is. The who is God. Worthy of praise is God who, as first party or grantor, has blessed. Aorist active participle of the verb eulegeo. Creation of the escrow. That's the word blessed. And who did he bless? Us. Believers, the second party or the grantees. This is a legal document. We are grantees. God is the grantor. What are we granted? Every spiritual blessing, the contents of the escrow. Where are they, these blessings? In heavenly places. They're on deposit. The depository. That's where they're located. That's in the third heaven. And in Christ, the third party escrow officer, he is the depositary. In other words, he supervises your escrow blessings. They're on deposit in heaven. Verse 4. Since he himself has elected, that's the main verb, eklego, He Himself, this is God, has elected us in Him before the beginning of the world. Eternity past, prior to Genesis 1:1. This is the divine decree. If you understand dispensations, the angelic conflict, and the divine decree, you can understand these two verses. God has always known all that is knowable, past, present, and future. Nothing escapes His attention. That's omniscience. Since He Himself has elected us in Him before the beginning of the world. When was that? That was before Genesis 1:1. That He should be holy and blameless in His presence. Now let's go to 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again through a consistently living confidence in the resurrection of Jesus Christ out from the dead. That is, who has secured for us an inheritance. The inheritance is non-perishable and undefiled and will not fade away. That's escrow blessings imputed in eternity past. Reserved in heaven for you on deposit in the depository. See Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Verse 5. Who are garrisoned on earth by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The distribution of these escrow blessings will occur in heaven at the evaluation tribunal of Christ, and that is noted in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. We must all appear before the evaluation tribunal of Christ for the purpose that each one may receive back the things done through his body, whether good, agathos, of intrinsic value, or bad, phallus, evil, wicked, corrupt, depraved. Now these are seven passages in Revelation 2 and 3 that the following are, that reveal the distribution of escrow blessings at the evaluation tribunal of Christ. In other words, you have your blessings on deposit. They will not be conveyed at the evaluation tribunal unless you advance to spiritual maturity. Yet they're still yours, but not conveyed. What if you have money in the bank? And the president will allow you to go into the vault and look at your money. Let's just say you have $1 million in there. And they're all stacked up on a table. And it's got a sign on the front, these $1 million belong to Fred Jones. It's his money. And then you say to the bank president, I would like to have that money. And he says, no, you can't have it. And you then say, well, why? And he will say, because you don't qualify to have it in your person. You qualify to look at it. You can look at the money, but you can't have it. Why? Because you did not follow the concept of growing in grace. You were awarded this, but then in order for it to be conveyed, you had to grow in grace and have to be a responsible dispenser of these things. No, you lollygagged. You decided not to go to Bible class. You decided to go to Happy Clappy outfit. You built Jimmy Carter houses down in God knows where. That's what you were spending your time on rather than growing in grace. So there you go. You're free to look at it. You can smell of it if you want to, but you cannot touch. You don't like that, do you? Well, you better get on your horse and start growing in grace. Tough crowd, isn't it? There are seven passages in Revelation 2 and 3 that reveal the distribution of escrow blessings at the evaluation tribunal of Christ. Do I have to read 2 Corinthians 5:10 to you again? I'm going to keep you're staying. You're staying. Listen to this. We must all appear before the evaluation tribunal of Christ for the purpose that each one may receive back the things done through his body, whether good, agathos, or bad, phallos. The inventory is cited by John in prophecies made to the seven churches of Asia Minor. I can show you a picture of that. The order in which they appear in context are Ephesus. See where it starts right here, Ephesus. And there are going to be seven of them. Watch how John works through this. Ephesus, Smyrna, you see, we're going north here. Got that, Smyrna. Then Pergamum, right up here. Then he'll work his way down to Thyatira. Then he's going to go down to Sardis. Then he's going to go down to Philadelphia. God help us there. Then Laodicea. John describes those who receive escrow awards by one of two Greek phrases in his comments on each of the seven churches. Number one, you note on the board, is Ephesus, Revelation 2:7. Let's note how it reads, and we'll continue on Wednesday evening. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, that means is a winner, that's to nekonti. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat from the tree of life. Nike award number one, which is in the paradise of God. To him who overcomes, that's the winner, to nekonti. The loser doesn't get this, but happy to be in heaven in resurrection body for all eternity. Well, that introduces escrow blessings, and we'll get cracking on that on Wednesday evening. Now, Father, we thank you for the opportunity and privilege of studying these things. It is our prayer that the Holy Spirit will make them real to us, that the retention of them in our souls can be accessed for application. And we lift our prayer of gratitude in the name of Christ, our Savior. Charis human kai irene, plethon thai en epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen.